In 1961, MIT meteorologist Edward Lorenz ran some routine experiments and found some unusual results. He discovered that seemingly tiny and insignificant changes in data could produce huge differences in the final result. Lorenz called this the butterfly effect. And in 1972, he presented a paper entitled Predictability. Does the flap of a butterfly's wings in Brazil set off a tornado in Texas? According to his theory, the butterfly's wing flapping doesn't actually cause a tornado. But he said it can start a chain reaction leading to big changes in worldwide weather patterns. In other words, even tiny actions can produce huge shifts that affect large groups of people. Now, I don't know if this is scientifically true, and from what I've heard, it's actually not. But isn't that a principle in the kingdom of heaven? A small seed becomes a huge tree. Two small fish feed the multitudes. A small bit of faith moves mountains. You know, we might look at the evil and the brokenness in our world, the way the powerful in our world totally ignore God, and we might be tempted to despair. What difference can I make, we might think. What can I change? I'm just a small voice in a vast, noisy world. I am just one person among billions. But Jesus is going to show us today the power of one small act of love. He's going to teach us that the secret to ministry in the kingdom of God is that the greatest change comes from the tiniest of actions. Jesus is going to demonstrate that one small act of faith can change a city. You know, the gospel of Satan is that you can't do a thing about the wave of evil that is sweeping over our land. But the truth is, though it looks fearsome and mighty, the kingdom of evil is structurally very weak. Pull one string and the whole thing unravels. Throw one pebble and the giant will fall. Evil is no match for one small act of faith in the kingdom of God. And all that needs to happen today is for the people of God to believe in the power of one conversation, of one small step, of one tiny act of love. Let us pray. God, help us to see things in our world today as you see them. Help us to see the people around us the way that you see them. Jesus, help us to listen to your voice this morning so that we get your perspective on things. God, we come to you today and we just admit that, God, the mindset of the world can be so overwhelming at times. It is so easy to fall into this line of thinking that says, if I'm ever going to make a difference, I need to have a lot more earthly power, a lot more earthly influence, a lot more money, a lot more talent. Jesus, open our eyes today to the power of one small act of love. Help us to see the change you can bring about if we'll just take one small step of faith. God, give us tender, receptive hearts so that we just take in your word today and it sinks into us deeply. It penetrates our hearts, our minds and our souls and changes who we are, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're slowly working our way through John chapter 4, but you know, I like working through these words of Jesus and these stories about Jesus slowly, because there's so much there that even though I've read some of these things hundreds of times, I read it again and the Spirit opens my eyes to things I missed before. And there's just so much depth to God's Word. And today we're going to be in chapter 4, verses 27 to 34. So Jesus was having this conversation with the Samaritan woman. We read in verse 27, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' And then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' And then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" Now we read that when his disciples saw Jesus talking with a woman, they were surprised. Rabbis at the time had a saying that a man shall not talk with a woman in the street, not even with his own wife. So with this attitude toward talking with women in public, it's no wonder the disciples were surprised at Jesus' actions here. Jesus was doing something they never would have expected him to do. Now, the word refers to being astonished, shocked. And it occurs 43 times in the New Testament. In fact, as I looked at each instance of this word specifically in the Gospels, this seems to be the general response to things that Jesus did and things that Jesus said. People were surprised. They were astonished. They were shocked. When Jesus calmed the storm, we see this word. When he healed a demon-possessed man, people were astonished. When he was silent before Pilate, once again we see that the reaction of people was surprise. When he taught in Nazareth, people were astonished. Now, we might think that we have Jesus figured out today. We're smarter than they were back then. We see the things of God more clearly than they do. Baloney. I believe that if we could really see what Jesus is up to today, we too would be astonished. We too would be astonished. We too would be surprised. We too would be shocked. Now I know we have more information about Jesus and the things he said and the things he did than they did back then. But the more I know about people and the more I know about myself, the more I find that I too am so often slow. I too am so often stubborn. I too am so often blind to the things that Jesus is doing. After spending 3 years constantly around Jesus, a far more intense time of training than any of us have had, the disciples still had no idea about the direction that Jesus wanted them to take. And I've mentioned before that the book of Acts is about God leading his best people in a direction that they thought was totally wrong. You know, God, you want me to go to the unclean Gentiles? And over and over and over again, they were shocked. They were astonished about what Jesus was up to. And therefore, I think we should start expecting the unexpected. We should start expecting to be surprised about what Jesus is up to. You know, maybe we've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years. But Jesus is inexhaustible. And chances are, if we could really see his work today, we too would be surprised. And if we say this morning that, you know what, I want to join Jesus in the work he is doing, if I want to be a part of what Jesus is up to today, there's three things I see in our passage that are necessary. And the first one is, like this Samaritan woman, we must fling down our own self-centered work. Fling down our own self-centered work. In verse 28, we read that she threw down her jar, just as Peter and Andrew, James and John threw down their nets to be part of what Jesus was up to. Now, the biggest issue for each of us is, how badly do we really want to be a part of Jesus' work in our world today? How badly do I really want to be a part of what Jesus is doing today? What excuses am I making for not leaving everything behind to join him in his work? If you notice, the townspeople similarly drop what they are doing. You know, they didn't say, but I have this other work that I'm doing. They didn't say, but I'm about to close this deal. But I'm in the middle of another task. No, they just dropped their work and they left. And they didn't miss their work. She didn't miss her jar. Yes, there is a cost to follow Jesus. But when you compare it to the cost of not following Jesus, when I compare it to the cost of not being involved in Jesus' work today, there's just no comparison. You think the man who found the pearl of great price was sweating over its cost? The only thing he was sweating about was whether he would be included in such a great deal. And the sad reality is that many people in the church today are just too busy to join Jesus in the work that he is doing right here in our midst. I encourage you to take a good look at your life and the way that you spend your time and say, is that me? Am I too wrapped up in my own self-absorbed world that I'm missing out in the work that Jesus is doing in my own home, in my own workplace, in my own church? We take days off for all sorts of reasons. What about a day off just to be with Jesus, or a day off just to join Jesus in some of his work? So we need to fling down our self-centered work. Next, if we want to be part of what Jesus is up to today, we need to find others to tell. Find others to tell. After dropping her jar, this woman ran back into town to tell other people, to get other people involved. Now, this was a woman, and she was an adulterer. Two characteristics that would usually disqualify her testimony at the time. I mean, that's just the way things were back then. But she didn't let this stop her. She didn't look at the things that were standing in her way. No, she saw the opportunity before her to be part of what Jesus was doing. And we might want to think for a moment about the people in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who will not be in heaven because they never saw the reality of Jesus in a living human being. Guys, there are thousands of them. and you can change that. And all it takes is one conversation. Jesus shows us that all it takes is maybe one phone call, one small act of love, 1 hour that I set aside to care about someone else. How did Jesus change the town of Sychar, Samaria? When he looked at Sychar and he knew the people there and how lost they were, did he get up on a hill somewhere and start screaming at people? No. He said, the way I change this city is by one small act of love for this woman. And that one small act spread throughout the entire city. Verse 39 says that many of the Samaritans from this town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Each individual life touches so many other lives in ways we don't even realize. Reach out to just one person and show them that they are loved by God. Help them to see that He values them. He cherishes them. He pursues them. And then think about the effect that that will have on the people in their life. How it will spread and multiply in ways you could never dream. Dallas Willard said it well. He said, Jesus came to start a world revolution one person at a time. And I've talked often about the importance of thinking small when it comes to loving others. But Jesus, he didn't only say these words, but he lived them in his example right here on the pages of Scripture for us. That this one simple act of love changed the entire city. That's how cities change. It starts with one conversation, one call, one act of love. That's how hearts are really changed. We don't go gather together as Christians and, you know, start yelling or causing a scene. We just love the people God has placed in our lives. And that's how cities change. And finally, if we want to be a part of Jesus' work, we need to feed on the spiritual world. Feed on the spiritual world. Jesus said to his disciples, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And he's talking about the invisible kingdom of God that brings a satisfaction and a fulfillment that nothing in this world can offer. And I've asked you before, what if Jesus' statement were literally true? We need to ask ourselves that about the things Jesus says often. You know, he says things like, if those who follow me will never taste death. You know, what if that was literally true? Jesus' disciples took Jesus at his word, and they thought what he said was literally true. That physical nourishment is available from another source than just food. Jesus had discovered that physical nourishment is actually available from the spiritual world. Too often we depend on the energy that the world has to offer us. And I'm there too. Now look, Jesus ate food. Our bodies have been designed to need food. But if we are really going to join Jesus in the work he is doing, we need to also find a greater source of strength. And the discipline of fasting points the way here. There is another source of strength out there that most people simply ignore. And once you find it, you will discover an energy in your body that you have never known before. Look, we're going through a hard time in our country and a hard time in our world. And I have just seen example after example, time after time, not just in Scripture, but historically, and even recently, of churches and Christian groups overcoming huge problems that they were facing through unified group prayer and fasting. When Esther learned that she and her people were about to be killed, things looked absolutely hopeless. They had no earthly power, no earthly hope. So she instructed Mordecai, gather together all the Jews, all of the people of God, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. And because God's people trusted in the power that comes from the invisible kingdom of God, God did the impossible and saved his people from death. Now, I'm not going to ask you to go 3 days and nights without food or water, right? So it sounds like if we were alive during the time of Esther, God's people might have been in trouble. We love our food and our drinks, and I know that. But I do want to ask you to skip breakfast and lunch. And I wanted to pick a day that maybe it would work for all of us and we could be unified. And so I picked Friday. Skip breakfast and lunch this Friday and rely on the strength that comes from God. And I could say pray for the universal church, but again, I want to make our focus small, because I think when we make our focus small, it spreads out into the broader world. But invite you to, during that day, pray for your brothers and sisters in this church on Friday. And let's see how it affects us. Let's see what God does in our lives. Now, I know some of you have physical issues that might make this a challenge. Don't do anything that will be dangerous, okay? Don't hurt yourself here. If you need to have a snack or, you know, fill up with coffee, go for it. And in the past, I've said, well, if you can't fast from food, then pick something else. But I've just learned that food is so central to our lives. It gets right to the heart of what we trust in for our strength. Just fasting from TV or from something else, I don't think is enough. And so I'm encouraging you, fast from breakfast and lunch on Friday, and just focus on food. You can have drinks if you need to, coffee, you know. Sometimes I need sugar for my diabetes, so I drink some orange juice or something, and God understands. And then on Friday, pray for one act of love you can do for someone and do it in God's strength. I mean, you might say, God, I feel pretty weak because I don't have food inside of a lot of food. The fact is, if we just skip two meals, there's still food inside of us. It's just we don't have a lot of food maybe inside of us. Pray for one act of love you can do for someone and do it in God's strength. If you want this, Jesus will lead you. He will work. He will demonstrate the power of one small act of love in the kingdom of God, done not in the power of Robbie, but done in the power and the might of the Spirit of God. And I expect God to do something extraordinary that will surprise us, because that's what Jesus is up to today. His work is about doing extraordinary things, astonishing things. And he does them through small steps of faith that we take, small acts of love I mean, maybe Albuquerque's bigger than Sychar Samaria was back then. But we're not just doing one act. We're doing 20, 30, 40 acts of love when you put us all together. And you think of how that might ripple out into the rest of Albuquerque and the changes God will bring about because of that. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask that you'd give us the strength to be unified in this. God, our country's going through a hard time. This has been a hard time for many of us. I mean, as I look ahead and just speaking personally, and our kids aren't going to be going back to school when they were supposed to be going back to school, and there's hard days ahead. We're desperate for your powerful, mighty hand in our lives and right here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I pray that you'll give each one of us the strength to depend upon the energy, the power that comes from you this Friday. And God, we set aside two meals to express our need for you. We set aside two meals saying we want to discover an invisible energy that comes from the kingdom of God. So I pray you'd be our strength. I pray you would nourish us physically through your spiritual kingdom. And God, lead us into one small act of love for someone around us. You know, maybe it's something as simple as a phone call. Maybe it's something as simple as writing a letter or doing an act of service for someone, God, to help them see that they are loved, they're valued, they're cherished. And God, I pray that in the power of your kingdom, you'll take those small acts of love and multiply them in ways way beyond our own abilities. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. God, yes, amen. That's how we want it to be. God, help us to cast down those idols, the things we've been pursuing that are just temporary, worthless when compared to the treasure that you are. And help us to join you in your work. God, it's not about getting you to join in what we're doing. You're at work in our families. You're at work in our neighborhoods, in the people around us, in ways we can't see. And we just want to come along and join you in what you're up to, God. We want to be part of what you're doing. So God, I pray that you would lead us into that and give us eyes to see these small acts of love you have prepared in advance for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you.